Test 6. Instructions. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. Write all of your answers in the listening question booklet. At the end of the real test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1 of your booklet. Section 1. A campus radio station is going to be in action. An interviewer is interviewing a man from the university for the survey. Listen to the conversation between them and circle the best answer from A, B, or C for questions 1 to 4. You now have some time to read questions 1 to 4. You will see there is an example which has been done for you. On this occasion only, the conversation relating to this will be played first.
Excuse me, I'm conducting a campus survey. Would you have time to answer a few questions?
What's it all about?
We're doing some market research for a new campus radio station starting in the next few months.
That's okay. Sounds good.
Great. I'll just work through this form with you. And if we could start with some personal background information?
Sure.
Right. If I could have your age, please?
26.
Okay, good.
The teacher being interviewed is 26 years old, so B is circled. Now, we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will never hear the recording for the second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Excuse me, I'm conducting a campus survey. Would you have time to answer a few questions?
What's it all about?
We're doing some market research for a new campus radio station starting in the next few months.
That's okay. Sounds good.
Great. I'll just work through this form with you. And if we could start with some personal background information?
Sure.
Right. If I could have your age, please?
26.
Okay, good. And are you a student, teacher, or in another job?
Well, I'm a tutor, but I'm also a postgraduate student, so I don't know what you might call me.
What do you think?
Okay, well, I'm more of a teacher, really.
Fine. And would you mind if I asked about your salary, or I could leave it blank?
No, that's okay. It's $20,000 a year.
Thanks. Right. Now about your current listening habits. What would you say is your main reason for listening to radio?
Well, I'm usually busy during the day at work, so I usually only listen to the radio at night. It helps me relax and unwind, even if I'm studying.
Good. And how many hours a day on average do you listen to the radio?
Well, not a lot really. I'd say just over an hour all told.
Now you have some time to read questions 5 to 10. Now listen to the second part of the interview and answer questions 5 to 10.
So, what are the two main times of the day that you listen to the radio?
Well, for a little while around breakfast time, and then it tends to be later, after dinner, when I've finished any serious work I need to do.
And what sort of radio programs do you like?
I like the news, but I also like classical music. It helps me to relax.
Fine. And turning to the new campus station, which type of programs would you prefer?
I think the existing radio stations cater for my need for news. So I'd like to see programs about local information, you know, providing a service to the campus community. And in the same vein, perhaps more for academic viewers, you know, some lectures or relevant programs.
Oh, I see. And if you had to give the new directors some specific advice when they set up the station, what would you tell them?
I think I'd advise them to be careful about the quality of the broadcasts. You know, the sound system. There are a lot of radio stations, and people can change their loyalty quickly if it doesn't meet their needs. I think they should do more of these kinds of interview, too, you know, talking with existing and potential customers.
Oh, I'm pleased you think it's useful.
Certainly, yeah.
Good. Now, this station will not be fully funded by the university. So how often do you think it is tolerable to have adverts?
I think, well, out of that list, I'd say every quarter of an hour. Of course, that's providing they don't last for 10 minutes each time.
Oh, quite. And are you interested in attending any of the special promotions for the new station?
Yes, I'd be happy to. As long as they're held on the campus or nearby.
OK, I'll note that down. And finally, may we put you on our mailing list?
Well, I prefer not. Except for the information about the promotions you just mentioned.
OK. Can I have your name and address?
Of course. I have a card I can give you.
Oh, great. And thanks a lot for your time, and we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
This is the end of section one. Now you have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section two. Section two. You are going to hear a talk given by Madeline. She is going to introduce the recreational facilities on campus and in town. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 20. As you listen to the talk, answer questions 11 to 20.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Madeline Stewart, and I'm here to tell you about the recreational facilities available on campus, and also to tell you something about what the town has to offer. You may already know that your students' union membership also includes membership of the sports union, which provides a range of sporting and recreational facilities on campus, much the same as those in most British universities. The sports union has football, tennis, and cricket teams in local competitions. And really, most sports are catered for in some way on campus, even if they're just social matches. In the building itself, there are fitness classes and a full gym, including weights. The sports union can also provide cheap tickets to some major sporting events. And to keep you up to date with everything available, there's a weekly newsletter distributed around the campus. You should check this to find out the names and phone numbers of the contact people for each sport or activity you are interested in. Yes, did you have a question?
Yes, apart from what you've just said, does the sports union offer individual help in any of its activities, for example, in getting fit and healthy?
Yes, we do. The sports union has a fitness assessment clinic every Friday, staffed by the resident sports trainer, who can provide advice on the best program for you and refer you to various charts. I'm sure you all realize that for any medical assessment or health problem, you should go to the University Medical Service. The sports trainer can also advise you on a suitable training program using the weights. And now on to Ashbury. For a town of its size, Ashbury has some unusually good leisure and sporting facilities, most of which are near the center of town and easily reached by bus from this campus. There's a new, well, almost new, Olympic-sized swimming pool, That's not quite in the central town area, but it's only a 5-minute walk from the bus stop. Above the pool, there's a high-tech fitness center that any of you more serious fitness lovers would need to check out. Then, in the center of town, there's a sporting complex called the Anderson Center, which contains squash courts and facilities for a number of other indoor sports, such as basketball. And just around the corner from the Anderson Center, in the main street there, is an indoor bowling alley. All of these facilities are listed in the weekly newsletter, so I encourage you all to look through it and...
This is the end of Section 2. Now you have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 3. Section 3. You are going to hear a conversation among Dr. Archer, Larry, and Judy, talking about the new term. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully to the first part of the conversation and complete the notes and table below.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to the new term. I hope you've all had a good break and that you're keen to start on your research project. What I'd like to do this morning is to give you a chance to ask questions about the project, requirements, ways of approach, how to get help if you need it. Today is informal. It may be already written on paper, but it's nice to have an opportunity to have it confirmed. So, any questions?
Dr. Archer, is there a confirmed due date yet to hand it in?
Yes. I can now confirm that it's 16th of July, not 15th, as first advised. Okay?
And what about the word limit?
Well, there is some flexibility on this, but in general, it's 8 to 10,000 words.
Ah, I see.
And you can choose your topic, anything from years 2 and 3. Yes?
I still can't work out what I want to do it on.
In that case, you should see your course tutor to agree on your final topic. And you should also be aware that there is special assistance available at the library on library resources if you need help on that.
Can I just check on the deadlines for everything?
Certainly. Look, let me write it on the board when each stage should be completed. First of all, you've got to work on your basic project outline, and that's due in to your course tutor by 21st of February, which is only 2 weeks away, so you need to get cracking on that.
Do we have to include a full reference list by then too?
No. Your reference list is due on 6th of April, which is 1 week later, so you have time to discuss this with your tutor.
And when should we be doing the research?
Well, that's over a one-month period, essentially April to May.
And the write-up?
Well, you need to do quite a bit of research before you get going on your writing. So that's really May to July, with the due date for handing in on the 16th. Any more questions?
Now look at questions 27 to 30. Listen to the second part of the talk and match A, B, or C with questions 27 to 30.
Well, sir, just some advice, really. It's about the research approach. Would you advise us to use some case studies?
Well, Larry, I know these can be difficult to arrange sometimes, but I really feel they are of great benefit in this subject. You can always talk to your tutor if you're having difficulty. Yes?
I've looked over some previous research projects that are in the library.
Is that a good idea, sir? I heard.
Okay. I don't think you should go through them in detail, especially at this early stage, or you might end up being influenced by them more than you realise. But yes, it really is about the best guide you can have to what's required in the... to what's expected in this type of project.
Sorry, Judy, I butted in on you.
That's all right. It's just that I noticed one project was a joint one. They work together as a pair. Is that a good idea?
Yes, I remember that paper. Working in a pair can have some advantages, but to be frank, this is meant to be an individual project, so it's best to work on your own.
About using subjects, is it okay if we use family members?
Your own relatives? I don't see why not. They probably offer some advantages in terms of availability. Although you need to guard against possible effects on your research outcomes. So, you can if you want. Perhaps you should discuss this with your tutor if you plan to use relatives, so you can approach it in the best way.
Okay, thanks.
Okay then. Well, I hope we've been able to sort out a few things. You're welcome to see me at any time, or drop me a note if you have any more queries.
Fine, thanks.
This is the end of Section 3. Now you have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4. Section 4. You are going to hear a lecture about the geographic information about Australia. You now have some time to read questions 31 to 40. Now listen to the lecture and answer questions 31 to 40 by choosing the best answers from the choices.
Good morning, everybody. We'll continue to look at Australia, and today look at one of its greatest natural challenges, water for the agricultural sector. As the only nation to occupy an entire continent, Australia has a unique environment, with much of it very flat and dry. One notable feature of the Australian continent is that it is the lowest of the continents. The average elevation is less than 300 metres, compared with the world's mean of 700 metres, and its highest mountain is only 2,228 metres, so it is overall a very flat country. It is also dry. In fact, Australia is the driest, after Antarctica, of the continents. Yet, Australia has extremes of climate and topography. There are rainforests and vast plains in the north, snowfields in the southeast, deserts in the centre, and fertile croplands in the east, south, and southwest. And Australia contains some of the wettest areas on Earth. In western Tasmania and on the northern Queensland coast, but half of the continent has an annual rainfall of less than 300 millimetres each year, and only 20% has more than 600 millimetres each year. A major problem is that the limited water resources do not match up with where water is consumed. The major water resources are in northern Australia and Tasmania, whereas most of the agriculture and people are in southeastern mainland Australia. The agricultural sector is the largest consumer of both self-extracted and main-supplied water, using over 70% of total net water consumption. Electricity and gas supply, and water, sewerage and drainage services, use notable amounts of self-extracted water. However, net consumption in the household sector is the lowest, just 8% of total net water used. Australia's water use increased by 25% over the decade between the mid-1980s and mid-1990s. Much of this increase was due to irrigated agriculture, which, as noted earlier, accounts for over 70% of national water demand. Since the mid-1990s, the growth and profitability of irrigated agriculture has outstripped the dryland agriculture sector. Irrigated commodities contributed almost a third of total farm exports in the mid-1990s. The results of a special government report in 2000 showed that if today's water use arrangements continue, the water needs of the rural industries will outstrip water availability by about 2020. Irrigated agriculture, Australia's major water using sector, would be seriously affected by the shortfall. And although groundwater underlies large areas of Australia, it accounts for only 4% of water use. So, clearly, apart from water for households, which mainly comes from dams or rivers, it is the rural sector where efforts towards water conservation are particularly directed. In this sector, the largest consumers of water are the meat and wool industries. One of the major problems in considering sustainable agriculture is the large amount of irrigated water used to produce these products. Some of the crops, such as wheat, maize, and soybeans, also use a lot of water. Furthermore, many crops are grown in dry areas, where up to half the available water evaporates from the soil surface or seeps down too low into the ground for the plant roots to reach it. Well, that's all we have time for this morning. You will be able to do further study on this topic in the library, and I have a handout here with references for those who want to come out to the front to collect it. Next week, we'll look at outback farming, and...
This is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.